Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. I'm absolutely delighted to say a happy new year to our next guest who's joining us on the show today, Mr. Tim Stannard, his first appearance of the new year. We haven't spoken to him in a while about La Liga and what a busy weekend in La Liga it was. Tim, first and foremost, happy new year. Were you eating these 12 grapes at midnight on New Year's Eve, as Ben Hayward from Goldacom was telling us?
I was, yeah. I was here in Spain for New Year's Eve. It was a quiet one, but at the 12 grapes, had a bit of practice. And one of the first years I've managed to do it. And then you have the Reyes a few days later, which the Spanish eat. This kind of bread with cream, with sugared fruit on top. It's weird, but you know, you got to adapt to the local customs.
Where does that come into the New Year celebration? Is there any reason behind it, Tim? I mean,
well, that comes a few days later, because in Spain they don't really celebrate Christmas that much. A little bit of like the kind of American British customers creeping in, but they wait until Reyes, which is on the 5th or 6th of January, when the Three Kings come. So, but you know, they have three holidays basically, and you know, they need their rest.
They're definitely paving the way forward. I could see the benefit of three holidays. There's been no time to stop, though, when it comes to La Liga action. And especially, there's no time to stop in the press for criticising Real Madrid. Different stories coming out all the time. Firstly, this weekend against Osasuna, Tim, only managed one shot on goal. How bad were they without Cristiano Ronaldo?
They stank. They really did. This wasn't even like... Sometimes you do get the opposition who are like brave and plucky and playing well and giving everything. Osasuna were pretty much just as hopeless as they have been all season, which is why they're bottom of the table. I don't think they mustered a shot on target either. Iker Casillas have nothing to do. So this was, you know, this was a massive, well, not to say opportunity missed, because it doesn't really matter if they win the game or not because the league title is gone, but they were without direction. It's almost as if they just rely, you know, on, oh, Ronaldo will get us out of trouble. But as he was suspended, there was no one who was there to take on the mantle, neither Higuain nor Modric nor Ozil when he came on, nor Benzema, and certainly not Di Maria. So he had all these fantastic, brilliant, talented players, and you know, none of them really had anything to offer.
Is it as simple as there's no Cristiano Ronaldo in that side, which is why they played so poorly against Osasuna? Or is there more depth to this in terms of the chemistry at Madrid right now, and really what's been going on all season?
Yeah, they got by without him past, because of course he's had injuries and suspensions and things like that. So they have the win percentage is a little bit lower, but I think it's about 10%, but not massively lower. Yes, it's, I mean, their away form has been awful, even with Cristiano Ronaldo in the side. They've dropped points at Getafe, against Sevilla, against Betis, Celta Vigo in the cup, and so this is just another one really. I believe it's just 4 wins from 10 in La Liga, I think it is. So it's just all down to many, many things like motivation, confidence, I think, is a large part of it as well. Last season, their away form was exactly the same as it was in the Santiago Bernabeu, which is why they got those 100 points. So this season, though, they just don't seem to have a plan. They don't have that confidence. Last year, they were just going away and steamrolling teams, and they've only done that once this season. That was against Mallorca.
And then Mourinho's been having trouble with the players and been bad-mouthing them on numerous occasions. Now he's having a pop at Di Maria, saying you were playing better when you were on less money. At what point does Mourinho have to stop being so confrontational with the different groups in this Madrid side? Because is this not helping to tear it apart even more?
Well, this came from Marca, and which is so, you know, supposedly a pro-Real Madrid story, but there's no quote from him. This is someone said that he said that he said. So we don't actually know that it happened. But of course, he has had his issues with Iker Casillas, you could say, by putting him on the bench and Sergio Ramos before him. And it was interesting after the Malaga game, when they, again, another match which they lost away from home during the Christmas break, he was talking about what it showed that, while many things change in football, it's the manager who picks the team, it's the manager in charge. Mm. So this is Mourinho flexing his muscles, and, you know, on the positive, you could say, well, what he's doing is making sure that no one is secure in their place, and that, you know, that there's no one too big for the club. But on the other side, it's upsetting some members of the dressing room as well. But, you know, the players have not been delivering. Whether or not it's Mourinho's fault is another question. But ultimately, the players go out there. They're the ones who've not been concentrating on set pieces and been letting in a lot of slack goals. And they're the ones who've, you know, maybe not given everything. So Angel Di Maria is on the long list of players who, you know, upset Mourinho this season, and he's got a point there.
I mean, when you mentioned there that this is a story of a friend of a friend of a friend type thing, Chinese whispers, if you will. And I was just wondering, how much do you think the fact that Mourinho's had, you know, a pop at some very important Spanish national team players such as Casillas, is that turning the press such as Marca on him, and it's helping create these stories, which is therefore creating the problem? Because it's not like Mourinho's done anything like Bielsa did at the beginning of the season.
Well, what the press need is these stories, basically. So they're going to, it's going to be like a, yeah, it's like a South American soap opera, basically. If it wasn't Mourinho there, it was someone like the previous manager, Manuel Pellegrini, where there was no, you know, there's no drama, you could say, then it would be Real Madrid not playing that well, 18 points behind. So the press do exaggerate things. They, you know, wouldn't say they make things up, but they can be creative. They need stories. There's no story in La Liga at the moment in terms of football, so they need this drama. They need arguments about referees. They need Mourinho against the world. You know, Mourinho needs them as well. But so the it's the only way the press, all the shows, all the TV shows, all the radio phone-ins are going to fill all these hours is by creating this drama. So you've got to take that into account a little bit as well. Otherwise, you know, there's nothing happening.
And I kind of wish there more football was kind of like that, in just letting it be about the pitch rather than what happens off the pitch. Cristiano Ronaldo, though, is still making waves off the pitch as well in terms of what he's going to do in his future at Real Madrid. He said he wants to see out the contract, but if he surely doesn't sign at the end of this season, won't Madrid want to move him on before that contract finishes to try and get some money back for him?
To tell you, if anything involving Jorge Mendes as his agent, I just wouldn't believe in the centre. Everything is a tactic. He might want to stay there for the rest of his life. And that Osasuna game gave him a very, very good time. He wasn't there and the team sucked even more than normal away from home. So it was a big win for Cristiano Ronaldo. And he is performing fantastically this season. He's been brilliant all year. He's the one player, again, who's delivering again and again and again. So he's in a very strong position. So I wouldn't take any, you know, every comment has a reason. For example, there's a French colleague of mine talking about PSG. And he said, I love playing for Madrid. I love it here. I don't not think of any other club, but anything can happen in football, put at the end of his sentence. So with Cristiano Ronaldo, we could sign a new deal tomorrow, but again, that wouldn't mean he's going to stay. You know what it's like with contracts and football. Again, it's a really nice story to keep the press going every single day as well.
With this pantomime going on around Real Madrid, how kind of positive is that for Atletico Madrid in terms of not drawing too much light on their achievements and taking the pressure off them slightly as they continue to, you know, keep winning and keep moving their keep cementing themselves in that second place position in La Liga?
Yeah, Atletico in Madrid, anyway, they make the papers, the front pages every now and again, especially if things are not going well at Santiago Bernabeu, saying, hey, they keep winning and everyone's ignoring them and they're quite happy with that. You know, you probably hear about, oh, the title race is over, it's 18 points. Well, it isn't 18 points. It's 18 points between Real Madrid and Barcelona, but it's, just doing my math, 11 points between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid. So everyone's kind of forgotten about them. But the interesting thing about Atletico is that every time they have dropped points this season, they've just bounced back with a win. And you normally expect them to nosedive into some kind of crisis, but they're an extremely resilient side. And for them, second place is very doable. It's the one they should be focusing on, and that would be a fantastic achievement.
It's amazing, this Atletico Madrid side, because you put their points total after 19 games into any other top league around Europe, and they'd be winning it, apart from the Bundesliga. They would be at the top of the Premier League and Serie A with the points tally that they've got now. Are you surprised, because of all the talk at the beginning of the season, of how well Atletico have managed to stave off that fall, that nosedive that you mentioned just a second ago?
Yeah, it's a team that's sort of grown up a little bit under Diego Simeone, who's only been there just over a year now, a year and a couple of weeks. But the transformation has been quite incredible. Of course, they owe a huge amount to Falcao and his goals. But it's just incredibly solid. I can use the word professional, really. And they don't throw away silly late goals. They don't crumble, don't fall apart. And they've got a really good spine all the way from Courtois to Miranda in defence to Arda Turan and Falcao as well. A little bit short of players after that. But again, they're just being left alone and getting on with it. And you know, they've got to repeat the feat, basically, in the second half. But as you said, 44 points. And the points they have dropped have been at Real Madrid, which they always do, against Barcelona and Valencia. So, yeah, it's not embarrassing points. It's points which they might lose any season. But all the other matches, they're just very competent. At the weekend against Zaragoza, 2-0, no problems, no fuss. And I think it's 8 games in a row now in all competitions they've not conceded a goal at the Vicente Calderón. it could change next season, because if they do lose Arda Turan, whose agent, who said he wants a move, they do lose Falcao, if they do lose Courtois, who might return to Chelsea, then it's going to be a lot more difficult for them. But at the moment, they're just enjoying it.
Do you think Atletico Madrid have the adaptability with their tactics? I mean, we've seen Barcelona only have really a plan A, but plan A seems to work whatever and against whoever. Do you think Atletico Madrid have an adaptability to their tactics that we've seen enough to show that they've got a plan B and C should they need it in the second half of this season?
I think so. They are a fairly adaptable side, because they've done well in all competitions against all different types of rival, and look what they did to Chelsea at the beginning of the season, just absolutely took them apart. And yeah, the one blip really was at the Santiago Bernabeu, where they were massively disappointing. And, you know, it's always going to be what Madrid did show as one weakness, is if you do isolate Falcao, then they are going to have a little bit of trouble if you are good enough to do that, because yeah, he's a player who just needs service, basically. If you don't get it to him, if you put three or four players around Arda Turan, for example, then that's how you can isolate them. But, you know, in any club, if you isolate the best player, you're going to have trouble. But yeah, I think they've proven themselves to be adaptable. You know, halfway through the season, they're still there on 44 points. As you said, it would be enough to lead many other leagues, so we have to believe in them now.
You can put players around anybody in Barcelona's side, and they probably still will end up winning. Were you surprised at the ease at which they swept past Malaga on this week, on the weekend gone?
Not really, no. Malaga gave it a little bit, but you know, the Malaga side is fourth, fifth, so it's, you know, it's currently 24 points behind Barcelona, so it wasn't an unexpected win. It's just that Barcelona this season are so much better than anyone else. Malaga gave it a go, but they've got to try again in the Copa del Rey over the next week or so, but it doesn't look good for them.
We know that's your favourite competition, Tim, the Copa del Rey, and we've got Real Madrid in action tonight against Valencia. Valencia come in off the back of three straight wins. Really, is momentum and the advantage with the away side tonight in the first leg?
It might well be, but the Copa del Rey actually gets good around about now. You actually get ties where you don't know what's going to happen in the end. You get some of the big teams drawn against each other, so you do get Malaga, Barca, which is interesting. Atletico Betis is a really good-looking one. Mm. But yeah, this is Valencia going to come to the Santiago Bernabeu and really fancy their chances. Valencia are very strong on set pieces. Real Madrid are awful on set pieces. They've won 7 out of the last 8 in all competitions under Ernesto Valverde. They're a lot more disciplined. They're a lot more structured. But they're missing David Albelda, who had come into the side and has been an important person who's given some, as I said before, discipline and order. But he's not going to be there. So I fancy this one being 2-1 to Real Madrid. But if I'm wrong, I still think it's going to be very open for the second round this week. But they're playing again in the league at the weekend, which is interesting as well.
Do you see Valencia coming out, going for the win, or do you see them sitting back slightly more in the Bernabeu and the away leg?
They might sense a little bit of vulnerability. The Real Madrid, I think, is unbeaten just over a year in the Santiago Bernabeu, but they've come very close. Think about that Manchester City game when they had to have 2 very late goals. They conceded 3 against Real Sociedad, who are not that great a side. They conceded 2 against Espanyol. So they do have this unbeaten record, but teams always seem to score at the Santiago Bernabeu at the moment, and you know, Valencia will fancy their chances. I don't think they're going to be sitting back perhaps as much as they might have been last season, for example.
At the other tie in the Copa del Rey, Zaragoza against Sevilla, just quickly before we leave you here, Tim, how do you see this one panning out? Because both sides stuck in the mid-table in La Liga, but both sides will be wanting to have this great cup run of a Copa del Rey run and potentially try and get an upset in a semi-final and get to the final. They'll both be going out and out for this one.
Well, Sevilla have just fired their manager, basically, so there's some fresh news there. Michel, who was in charge, is gone. He's just been there over a year, and he's failed where many, many managers over the past 4 or 5 years have failed, ever since Juan de Ramos left to go to Spurs, and that is restore the glory days to Sevilla. It's a club dying, basically. It's fading. It's in all sorts of trouble. It's got a difficult dressing room. It's lost its way. And Unai Emery, who was Valencia boss, has just taken over. So this is his first day in charge. So you might see a little bit of a bounce for the new manager. So, yeah, Sevilla have to get into Europe. And they're just well off the pace at the moment. And looking at the league table, they are 8 points from Valencia in 7th, which looks like being the target to go for. And just a really soft side. Zaragoza, they'll maybe want to get to the final, but they're not that great a team, to tell the truth.
Tim, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on the show today. It's a pleasure to get you back and joining us here on World Football Daily in the midweek. We're glad you had a great new year and a good a day of the wise men turning up. Sorry, I can't remember the name of it now. What was it? Just after New
Reyes.
Year. Reyes. Reyes.
Yeah, I had to work on it when I had a day off because it was a Monday, so...
Well, I hope you do get to enjoy some time off at some point in the next few weeks and get to put your feet up. We know you're a very busy man, but thank you so much for joining us today, Tim.
A pleasure.
Excellent stuff. Thank you there. Tim Stannard, La Liga Loca, joining us here on World Football Daily today to take us through all of the news coming out of Spain's La Liga. And of course, they're talking about Sevilla and Unai Emery coming in the last 24 hours or so to take the hot seat in Sevilla. It'd be very interesting to see because obviously Emery...
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.